Right now, the only people who own law firms in the U.S. are lawyers. But under the Barr's proposal, anyone including accountants, financial planners, or insurance companies could buy and control law practices. That scares Larry Fox of Philadelphia's Drinker, Biddle & Reith. He's also former chair of the American Bar Association's Committee on Ethics and Professional Responsibility. Fox says the reason behind the rule is to protect clients from influence on legal matters from non-lawyers.
The profession is a little bit like a priesthood in that there are special obligations that are placed on lawyers. We've got pro bono responsibility to provide services for the indigent. We've got obligations of confidentiality that are unique. We've got an attorney-client privilege that's right up there with the priest-penitent privilege. We've got duties of loyalty to our clients that are extremely important and almost sacred.
But Steve Nelson, an attorney at Minneapolis's Dorsey and Whitney and a member of the ABA's Commission on Multidisciplinary Practice, says there are safeguards built into the rule change that would protect clients. He says the profession needs to change with the times and offer clients more options.
The fact is that life has gotten more complicated. Law has gotten more complicated. Law has gotten more intertwined with other disciplines. And there's no question that the intellectual premise that the world is more interdisciplinary is a correct one. And it is also clear that people, in many cases, do prefer to have someone who can provide a complete service, an integrated service, as opposed to saying, here's the legal answer to your question, but you'll have to ask someone else how to value this business.
The most interest in partnering with lawyers comes from accountants. The so-called Big Five international accounting firms are looking to acquire law firms in order to offer one-stop shopping for their clients. Greg Swinehart of Deloitte & Touche believes some clients would save money if accountants and lawyers work together.
Let's assume that you are a large multinational company based here in the Twin Cities, whether that be 3M or Honeywell or Cargill. They have operations all over the world. And to the extent they can go to one professional service provider for a broad array of services, that reduces the transaction costs for them. It reduces the number of communications that have to occur. And so in our profession has Deloitte & Touche and the other Big Five have worked hard to try to provide global seamless service to our large multinational clients. I believe that the legal profession might benefit from that as well.
The Bar Commission's report said a lawyer working with a non-lawyer would remain bound by rules of professional conduct, particularly those of confidentiality and loyalty. But attorney Larry Fox is not swayed.
Money is power. And that if all of the lawyers end up working for non-lawyers, and if the law business becomes just another profit center of a multidisciplinary practice that includes accounting and investments and insurance and what have you, the power will reside in the people that run the enterprise, regardless of what rules we have. And that those people who will be running the enterprises are not schooled in, are not sensitive to, and are not responsible for our rules.
Georgetown legal scholar David Luban says attorneys will lose their uniqueness under the proposed rule change.
This is a major change in the way the practice can be organized, because now a lot of the distinctiveness of lawyers against other professionals, against certified public accountants, against tax accountants, against bankers and financial advisors, it begins to be lost. I mean, they become sort of all-purpose business transaction engineers.
Dudley Ryan, who's a CPA in St. Paul and also an attorney, says the business landscape is rapidly changing, and he predicts the professional services industry and law will soon look like one big entity.
If you look at American Express or you look at Larson & Wisher, for who I work for, or you look at a law firm, we're all going to look very similar in the end. And I think it's going to be harder to differentiate who does what at the end of the day, because I think we're all going to be competitors. To the extent that all the entities providing these services become larger, I think the personal customization could be a loss for the individual consumer. At the same time, what we found, and I think what the studies show, is that consumers would rather one-stop shop than go to a lot of different places to fulfill all their needs.
Switzerland is the only country that permits such partnerships officially. Many foreign countries have similar rules against lawyers sharing fees with non-lawyers, but those rules are often skirted. The UK is considering lifting its ban officially. UCLA law professor Richard Abel.
These developments are occurring throughout much of the advanced capitalist world. There are the striking exception, of course, would be Japan, which has a very different legal system and a very different legal profession. But throughout Western Europe and the Anglophone common law world, I expect these developments to occur very rapidly.
Delegates to the ABA convention vote on the proposed rule change in August, but the bar can only make a recommendation. Even though that recommendation carries weight, each state Supreme Court must make the final decision. The head of the Minnesota Bar says he'll convene a group to study the issue in early September. I'm Elizabeth Stawicki, Minnesota Public Radio.